All right, fresh off the weekend, a lot to talk about. My name is Garrett, along with Rob Shooter. He has been very busy because the President of the United States has went over to his hometown of London and meeting with the royal family and Meghan Markle. Rob Shooter, how are you?
Hello. How are you? What a great weekend. I had a lovely weekend.
Oh, what'd you do?
The sun was shining. I went to see the Elton John movie Rocket Man.
Thoughts?
Loved it.
I see.
Sat there crying.
Oh, you cried.
When that little boy, and I'm not giving anything away, but what they do is, unlike the Bohemian Rhapsody musical, this is a real musical.
Right.
So they're sitting at the kitchen counter and they burst into song. So a lot of songs in Bohemian Rhapsody were either in the recording studio or on the stage.
Yep.
This is a traditional musical. Me and Garrett are sitting in the kitchen and we suddenly burst into song.
As we normally do on any given day.
Old-fashioned, delicious musical. And they have this one song that all four members of the family sing. His mother, who was not a very loving woman. His father, who walked out and left him. His grandmother, who was adorable. And Elton, as a little boy. And it just broke my heart. I thought it was just splendid. What I loved about it, too, is it's so theatrical. When he plays the troubadour, the whole audience rise up. Something that would never happen in real life. They levitate. But it's sort of like, I think, a metaphor of what it would be like to see Elton at a young age for the very first time. You feel like you're flying. So for me, it was not realistic. It was fantasy.
Well, that's the thing.
Romance.
I think the fan, I thought I was going in there for like a biopic.
Flat-footed.
Yeah, like, because they said it was a biopic.
He had a number one record in 1972. And like, so, yeah, I mean, that's the easier way to go. He said he didn't want to do that. They wanted to do that movie. They wanted to do a very straightforward one.
I think you could still do an open biopic, though, without, you know, I don't know.
You could do it. You could do anything
you
want. I
just felt like it was okay. To me, I enjoyed Bohemian Rhapsody more than I did
Rocket
Man.
It's much more traditional than Bohemian Rhapsody. And then we had a number one record. And then we went to America.
Yeah.
And then this is not that. This is like Moulin Rouge. This is a fantasy. It's over the top. It's crazy. It starts with him in therapy and then he bounces back to a little boy. I loved it. I loved it too when he's playing piano in the pub when he's a young kid, clearly talented, and then suddenly the windows of the pub blast open and they're dancing in the street. And I loved it. I loved everything about it.
And that actually happened too when growing up. He played and then
the
there
windows blast over.
And dancing in the street.
I think the nice thing about it, as a young gay kid that grew up in Britain myself, with nowhere... none of the talent that that Elton has, it teaches you like you can be who you want. Like he changed his name and he became Elton John.
Well,
he didn't like who he was, and so he did something about it.
So we're on each side of the aisle on whether we liked it or not. But
did you hate it?
I didn't hate it.
It's all right.
It was okay for me. I was going in there thinking how I saw Bohemian Rhapsody that it was going to be a biopic about him, and I think just like going to a Broadway show that isn't based on anything, I didn't go in the mindset of disbelief. Like, to me, I wanted to believe everything that was happening, and it was hard to believe.
Wait,
like,
they're flying.
And he's all sudden, he's playing in the pub, and then all of a sudden, there's dancing in the street. I mean, for all I know, it could have happened.
It's freaking Elton John.
It's
all fantasy. And
I get it.
A sparkle and a feather boa.
So when you go to the movies, are you a snack guy, or do you just go?
I'm lucky enough that we get invited in New York to these things called screenings, which I wasn't really aware what they were. And they give away free tickets to go to the movies. But it sounds great, but it's actually not that much fun. They're always oversold, so they're always like crushed.
There's no previews. I do enjoy that.
I like going with a regular audience, and they're all snobby people. So whenever you go to a screening in New York, I and everybody else is spending more time worrying where Anna Wintour's sitting or who I can make a contact with, or, oh my God, I've got to go over and talk to him, or, oh, there's Katie from the Today Show. And like, I don't like that. I like to go to the movies with a big bucket of popcorn and a Diet Coke, and I sit on the back row always with a baseball cap on in sweatpants and laugh and drop popcorn.
Just like Lady Gaga when she sneaks.
I love the movies on a Saturday. I love them on a rainy day too.
I went to go see a movie that's coming out in August. It's called it was a book back in 2003 called The Art of Racing in the Rain, and Milo Ventimiglia,
very handsome.
Guy from This Is Us.
Yep.
He plays a dad who is a race car driver but gets a little puppy. But the story's told from the puppy's perspective.
Like Marley and Me, but...
where it's like he wants to be human. It's from the people who did Marley and Me. Rob,
that
you're
movie.
A dog.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I'd rather Jennifer died than the dog.
You're a dog
person?
At the
end of Marley and Me. Oh.
If you read The Art of Racing in the Rain, you know the ending, obviously, but
it's
Rob,
tough.
You will cry.
I love these movies. I love going on.
You will cry.
Do you like all those fanciness of screenings? I like it regular. Saturday.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, I would rather just go regular and sit there with my book. And I think the audience reacts different too. If you have to pay $10, $12 to get in,
you're invested.
You want to be there.
You're invested.
And you made the choice to go.
If you get invited, it's a different story.
Yeah, I'll go because I want to bump into Stephen, or I want to bump into Garrett, or I go for those reasons.
And you know what I did too this weekend? I did a cooking class.
Oh, very
at the Institute of Culinary Education.
Sounds very fancy. What did you cook?
A Tuscan steak.
Oh my God, they're tough to cook a steak really well.
Well, you know what I
learned? What's the trick? It has to be really hot. You throw it on and don't move it.
Not even that. It's seasoning.
Oh.
You know how much salt should actually go onto a steak?
Probably a lot more than what we think.
Well, yeah. So if you do like one of those little pinches, it's supposed to be a light layer of snow. Not slathered, but like a light.
On both sides?
On both sides, rubbed in and with salt and pepper. Then you get it. So I learned that this weekend.
I didn't know that.
And they said, you know what the difference
was
is?
Was it really, really salty?
At all, because when you put it on a grill and then you make it, it pretty much evaporates. And you don't use extra virgin olive oil when cooking. You use olive oil because it won't burn in
Very
a pan.
Interesting.
Yeah, I learned that this weekend.
Didn't know.
And pretty much all those chefs hate the cooking shows. They hate cooking shows because it's not realistic.
It's not really. But that's like saying actresses don't like reality shows.
Right.
Like, that's sort of like a given, I'm not sure how much Gwyneth Paltrow or Reese thinks about the Kardashians.
They deep down inside they have their popcorn and their
but
Diet Coke.
They're
snobs
about it. But this is what's interesting with the chefs. I used to work for Rachel Ray for a little bit.
Right.
The company I worked for represented Rachel. Rachel's not respected amongst chefs. They think she's a cook, not a chef. And that's a mean way.
Right.
If anyone says that to you, you're a great cook, it's a dig. They should call Rachel a great chef. I think she is. But the food world hates her, but at the same time they all want to be her, so they hate her success. They don't think she's very talented. They don't think she has many skills, but she might be the most famous chef in America. She's the only one that has a network show
and a name and a face that people recognize,
and she sells those pots and pans at Target and everywhere at Walmart, and she makes a fortune. It's weird. I know a few chefs. Rocco Dispirito had his own show once, a reality show. And he was thought of as a great chef until he did that show, and then all the chefs hated him. And it took him years to bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of jealousy comes into play with it.
Yeah, there's like jealousy. And I wonder those posh chefs, if you actually said to them, would you trade your career for Rachel Ray's or
I think they,
Bobby Flay's?
They have to say no because they know, like,
but deep down, it's like musicians hate Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Right.
Andrew Lloyd Webber is not the most respected musician, but he's the most successful. And so it's very interesting. I wonder with musicians, if you said to a great musician, would you change your career to have Andrew's wealth and career? I wonder.
I think most will, but they would never admit it.
Never admit it.
Never admit it.
Because there's something intoxicating about success.
Oh, of course,
like,
without a doubt.
They hate Britney Spears. They think Britney's terrible, but they love her success.
If you give this, it's one of those things like you have to go through this to get to here, but...
And then a very few people have both, like Sting has both. Bruce Springsteen has both.
And he's a great lover, too.
He's a great lover,
too. Both Springsteen and
Sting.
Hours
and hours. It's so interesting. There's like those favorites that are commercially successful like Sting and also really arty-farty, artistic like Sting. But not a lot are. Most of the Britney Spears of this world. Beyonce's both.
Yeah, Beyonce has a little bit of both. All right, so what do we know about
Meghan
Markle? Meghan Markle, president.
Yeah, he did an interview.
Did he call her nasty?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
So I mean, you can't... The president, even people that I think really are great fans of this president, he's not the most truthful person.
Right.
Or he changes his story. And I don't even think he thinks he's lying. I think he just changed his mind and that he forgot that he said...
He said one thing and then...
Yeah, and then the facts don't matter to him. So like he can change his mind very quickly. So he did an interview for a British newspaper. And most
I love that he did it for the British newspaper, but he blamed CNN.
Yes, he did. I have a friend at CNN. They're mad today, too. What he said about CNN is dangerous. But so he did an interview for the British newspaper, was asked about Meghan Markle. If you're a defender of Donald Trump, you would say he was led into the question. But even so, most people, including ourselves, would have got out of that. Like, right, if somebody led me down that path, and I'm not a
like
trained
I tried
politician,
to do every day.
I would not go into it. So he's asked about Meghan Markle. During the election, she supported Hillary. She's a huge feminist. She has a lot to say about women's rights, particularly reproductive rights. She was an actress for a very long time with strong opinions, and she spoke about them. You can't erase that, and neither would she want to. And so the reporter cleverly brought up Meghan Markle. And so he snapped back, which is what he does and what people who support him and like about him and people that don't like about him. So he snapped back. The weird thing was then he changed his mind and said he never said it. Maggie Haberman, who's a brilliant Pulitzer Prize winning reporter, tweeted out the video of him saying, I mean, there is video. Like, because he's so powerful. When the president speaks, it's recorded.
Everything.
When you and me speak, nobody knows.
For all we know, I could delete this. And this is deleted. If you're hearing it, I don't know how you're hearing
it
right now.
If you're the president, like, or if you're like on TV, if you're like, you know, Savannah Guthrie, like if you're Anderson
imagine
Cooper,
Savannah Guthrie going to an interview and not recording it.
Not record, just didn't hit record.
Did I ever tell you I did that once?
No.
So I had it was when Simon Cowell came back for a judge, I think when he
left on X Factor. Yeah.
So big interview. I was called up uptown. He just did an interview with Kelly and Ryan, and I didn't have, and just like you, you're a hustler, so I didn't have a camera crew with me. Mm-hmm. So I called a friend who had a camera.
Fantastic.
And we got up there, and I thought we were getting like 10, 15 minutes.
What'd you get, four?
No, I sat down with Simon for an hour.
That's fantastic.
For a full hour, we were talking everything. One Direction. We were talking Britney Spears.
Oh,
we were talking
great.
Coming back to television.
And you asked the best questions and funny.
Oh, it was great. So I wanted to say, hey, let's look back after we... And the kid looks me in my face, and I can't blame him.
In front of Simon?
No. Simon left.
Oh, thank God.
And he goes, I only got 4 minutes. I go, why didn't you stop us? He goes, I didn't know what to say. Like, he
let it go for 55 minutes.
So I played fake interview with Simon Cowell for about an hour, a full hour.
I'm glad you got the 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah,
I got something out of it.
I got something.
And then Simon's problem. This guy pulled the strangest clips, the boring clips.
The most boring,
all the great
boring
stuff he didn't
but
care.
But yeah, it's happened to me.
A friend
before.
Of mine, when I was a publicist, he wouldn't tell me which clients, but I think it was J-Lo. He interviewed Jennifer, I think. He wouldn't tell me who. He interviewed so many of my clients, it could have been a different one. So he interviewed one of my divas for a gay magazine, and it was during Pride, Happy Pride. And this month, but it was many years ago.
Are you doing any marshals?
And it was just an audio interview, not a video, because Jennifer was not in full hair and makeup. Cost a lot of money. She did the interview, 15 minutes, just for like quick. He didn't record on his phone. And so he did a story, but instead of quotes, he did it like generic. So Jennifer's very supportive of the gay community, because when I read it, I was like, there's no quotes. It's just like general feelings. Like, she's a big fan of the gay community and she would like to do more to help gay rights. And
Jennifer
like,
Lopez
and then nobody
said,
put the quote. Jennifer said, quote, blah, blah, blah. Oh. There were no quotes. And I was like, God, that's a weird style of writing.
So Rob, so as we, you know, another story came up.
Let's just finish the Brits. So quickly on the Brits. So he's there now. Lots of protests. Britain's going through a lot of trouble themselves. The hard right in Britain are there supporting him. Most of the country's pretty angry that he's there. The Queen, I think, she's such a class act. Like, she's the head of the state. She's not elected.
Right.
She's the head of a state. This is her job. Some people are saying she shouldn't have met him.
She
doesn't have a choice. Like, she had to.
By law.
She's met some of the worst people in the world. Like, she has met dictators. She's met terrible, terrible people. When he turns up, her graciousness and the family's style is something we could all learn a lesson from. So instead of being like the people in the streets screaming and shouting and being aggressive, I would hope the President of the United States, some of the Queen's graciousness rubbed off on him. I don't know.
Well, time will
probably tell. Not, but I think she didn't have a choice. Now, Meghan's not there. Harry was there, which must have been very difficult after he went after his wife. Also, too, let's remember, the president lied about dating Princess Diana. So he did say that she came on to him and she wanted to buy an apartment in Trump Tower, which was all lies. He made it up to make Trump Tower.
You got
to
think
more.
That handshake was a little extra hard.
I think they're such pros. I think they put on their business hat and I think they walk. Me and you would be like, How dare he say that about my mom, my sister?
I would shake his hand and then whisper into his ear, "You son of a bitch."
I think they do the job and then they go back to the house and
bigger than us, Rob Shooter.
Much bigger, but that's the job.
Oh, you know. All right. So here's another story I wanted to tell you. We were talking about recording interviews.
Yes.
So I got sent down to Miami to do one of these junkets with The Rock at the time. He had a TV show, like one of those like on TNT. So our job was to talk to The Rock for about 4 minutes about the show. I fangirled and talked about his career, his movie career.
I love you.
Well, yeah, to talk about this and this and XYZ and then tell us this project. Nothing about the TV show.
You didn't get to the TV show.
So the script, we had to come back and build out the audio about talking to The Rock about the show.
Yeah.
I sat down there and I had nothing.
No. So I was like,
this is what I had to do. So I emailed 7 different people that were also there and I asked can I borrow some of your clips.
That's so sweet.
And
did they give it you?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Good
because they understood where the position I was at. So I had to piece together an interview with The Rock. Frankenstein, and pretty much talking about his show because what I had nothing to do about his TV show.
There's a few radio shows, very successful ones, that they call Frankenstein shows, which means they're never really live. They're put together in a control room, not in a studio. The talent that you're listening to sometimes isn't there. There's this really famous story. My friend Amy, who invented, she was the EP of Maury Povich, Sally Jesse Raphael, the fourth hour of the Today Show. She invented, she's a brilliant producer. She was the EP of Sally when Sally was the number one talk show, beating Oprah.
Big red glasses.
And see the world through Sally's eyes. And then one episode, Sally walked off the set. So she was so angry, she just left halfway through. They carried on the show without Sally and they just kept editing in the back of her head from like an other episode. Well, so you didn't know Sally had disappeared if you were watching.
Well, you know, going off of that, like using Sally Jesse Raphael's head. So I went to a few tapings of Ellen.
Oh, yes.
So here's the interesting thing. So when Ellen, during the interview, if there's ever like a mess up or a flub, there will always be a cut to the audience.
Because it's taped.
Because it's taped. So anytime you see the audience clapping or whatever, it's a transition. So it's a transition from whether a question or whatever. It's not a natural transition where the audience is like, oh, talk to the next thing. You'll see a shot of the audience either clapping, nodding, laughing or whatever. And it's Ellen having some... to either reset or transition into another question. So it was like, you know when you're talking to somebody and you just don't know where to go next?
Yes.
That's what it is.
If there's an awkward pause on the Ellen show, they would edit that out.
You'll see an audience nodding or laughing or clapping.
And they'll take the pause out.
And the pause will be out and they'll transition to
I went to the finale of Celebrity Apprentice while we're talking about Brennan.
Yeah.
Oh, he could barely he knew none of them. Everything was on cue cards, including the winner. Like the two of them. He has two people left. It's not that hard to remember.
A or B.
It's Joe Rivers, or it's like, you know, it's not that hard. By the time you get to the top two, you've been with them for 6 months.
Right.
Like you should. And they always, the most famous ones always get into the top two.
Yeah, ironically enough.
He didn't. And he had people sit here, stand up, turn to the left, look to the right, sit down. It was so produced. I've been to a lot of TV shows. This was like your, I don't know, sort of like little brother doing a TV show. Like this was something that had been on camera for years and still didn't get it right. And they had to redo this, and this. And he got names of people wrong and he didn't know when they were on the show. Everything was scripted.
All right. So let's jump into some stuff before we get out of here. We've been talking about it. Beverly Hills 90210 coming back. We think that it'll be... The nostalgia will be there quickly, and then I think it will fade.
I think so. Remember, they've done this before with Ashley Simpson, I think, did 90210, but this is different because it is the original cast. If you didn't go crazy over the Elton movie, you probably won't like this because this is fantasy.
All right, there
we go. It's not going to be a reality. This is... did you ever see The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow?
Yes.
It's like that.
Okay.
This is an actress playing an actress that's sort of like her, so it's a little bit sort of whimsical. I think it sounds fun, but it's not on the money.
Let's see. What else do we got? Oh, you... a lot of my friends saw Jennifer Lawrence hanging out at a polo match in Jersey City, New Jersey yesterday.
Indeed, and she stole the show.
Yeah, everyone was talking about her.
I think she's really enjoying
New
York.
And Michael B. Jordan was there too, freaking friggin' Creed and and in the Avenger movies.
So she Black hangs Panther. Out in New York. You see her around, like, so she's based in New York now. She likes it. There's lots of sightings of her on the subway. She's surprisingly somebody that can go low key. If she pulls her hair back in a ponytail and doesn't wear a lot of makeup, she's quite transformative. Like, I've seen pictures of her on the street where I've really had to look and be like, yeah, is that Jennifer Lawrence? And yeah, if you walk around, particularly downtown, she's based downtown, you might bump into her.
Well, we already talked about them, but is it true that Meghan and Harry are taking Archie to New York City this summer?
They are indeed. She wants... She knows.
Do they stay in her apartment or do they stay in a royal, like...
They don't have an apartment here, so well, they'd stay. Last time she was here, she stayed at the Mark Hotel. The Mark's a magnificent hotel on the Upper East Side.
Now, is that one that where you, Rob Shooter, can ride the elevators and learn, or do you
sense... I can't ride an elevator, but I'll have someone at the bar.
Yeah.
So I can put somebody at the bar there. It's a beautiful, magnificent hotel. The other place where Diana stayed, and I think it's really good for royals, is the Carlisle. Tom Cruise stays there because there's an underground garage, so you can get in and out of the Carlisle without being seen. The Waldorf Astoria is closed down at the moment, but that's where presidents used to stay because there's an underground garage. In fact, there's even a private train station under. I swear it hasn't been used, but they built it for Roosevelt because they didn't want anyone to know he was in a wheelchair.
Oh, so
interesting. There is a private, and it's only got one stop and one person used it. There's a subway stop under the Waldorf Astoria that was literally used for Roosevelt.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So it's a wild hotel.
So there's a salon right here in Soho called Divashan. You might know their shampoo. It's everywhere.
Yes.
It's for if you have curls, it's the way to go. I don't, neither do you. My wife does. That's how I know it. But she's she always talks about this place. So I've sent her there a few times. Had to take out a mortgage to do
so. Oh, is it crazy?
But he too has a garage that goes underground to get into the salon because people like Madonna go there and get their hair cut.
See?
Which is interesting.
It's my building where I live. A lot of celebrities live in my building, not because I'm there, but because there's an underground garage.
I want to say that, yes, because you're there.
No, if they knew I was there, they would
come. And they need the press.
But it's an underground garage. There's also a building. There's a Whole Foods in the basement of it, but there's a building on 7th and 24th Street where Katie Holmes used to live. Nick Jonas lives, I think.
Right.
Bobby Flay lives there. It's got an underground garage. So it's very rare in New York that you can get into an elevator under a building. Most celebrities...
Right.
Even on Park Avenue or Fifth Avenue, they pull up at the curb and you have to walk, not very far, but you do walk in. So a lot of really rich, really famous people will stay at the Carlisle.
We're in the wrong
the
business, Rob. Sure.
No, we're in the best business. I was thinking about that with the Elton John movie. I was thinking, my husband's a songwriter, and I was like, what a better...
Not just a songwriter.
He's pretty good, pretty successful songwriter. What a great gig to be Bernie Taupin, to be the lyricist. You don't want to be Elton. It's too much fame. Can you imagine not walking down the street?
But it's one of those things, too, where you would you ask Bernie, going, if you could switch, would you?
No, I don't think he would. I don't think so. And with all the press for the movie, Bernie's not done any. Didn't
right.
pass on it. Doesn't want to do it. Bruce, my husband, doesn't do it. Like, he very rarely will do interviews. He won't do Photoshops on carpets. He'll walk in the regular. Like, he doesn't want to play that game. And I didn't get it until I met really famous people. You don't want to be famous.
Well, yeah. Well, it's interesting. We had a singer who's not as famous as the singers we've been talking about yet, but his name's Bozzy, and he did Govball last night in New York City. He just got back from Australia. He flew to Australia for 5 days to see a girl that he's dating. So he flew more than he stayed in Australia. And he said for the first time in his early career, he had that, like, why do I want to do this?
Don't do it.
And you don't realize it until you're in it.
Yeah.
It's one of those outsider looking in.
And you can't say no once
in.
You've
yeah.
got it. There's very, very few people. I'm so lucky in life to have been around so many really famous. Diddy, J-Lo,
right.
really, really famous people.
Do
Britney.
Have you ever seen them say,
I don't know if they knew what it was going to be if
right.
they would work so hard. Rosie O'Donnell said that she wouldn't have done it. So I don't think Britney would. If Britney could take back all the troubles and have a simpler life. It's a really weird thing. This Elton movie's wild. It's a level of fame nobody achieves.
Oh, you know what I read?
One of the most famous people in the world. But would you, and there's a scene where he's all alone. He can't walk down the street. He can't just go out to the bar and get a drink.
Right.
I could text you tonight and be like, oh, come on, Garrett, let's go and get a drink. I'm not feeling so happy. And we could go and sit and laugh. You can't do that, and it's just a weird life.
But you know what's interesting about Rocket Man? We'll end on this. So obviously Elton John was heavy in drugs.
Very much so. In
and
the movie.
Obviously, Taron Egerton, who plays Elton John, didn't do real drugs in there. Chopped up vitamin B.
No.
So he got some healthy doses.
Oh, so he got healthy through this. Oh, so what they did when so there's a lot of cocaine in the movie.
Yeah.
When all those cocaine scenes where he's sniffing cocaine, they crushed up vitamin D.
Vitamin B.
Vitamin
yeah.
B. Oh, wow. That's yeah. so interesting.
Because I was like, how do they replicate it? Because it can't be powder.
Right.
Because you can't sniff powder because
right.
it's not healthy.
And it's vitamin D.
So it had to be
B.
Yeah, B. Yeah.
Fantastic. He looks good in it. He was just talking about his big ass. So guys out there, if you have big thighs or big asses, don't hide it. He was like, all he's right. learned to love his big fat ass.
I'm working on my ass.
You have no ass.
My jeans fall right off
but
the back.
But you do great on the front.
Yeah, that's it all transferred to the front. And on that note, thank you for listening. My name is Garrett, that's Rob Shooter. We'll leave you with that image. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.